Hanukkah has ended now, but Christmas and Kwanzaa are still ahead, and that means a lot of you still have gift shopping to do. I'm David Fair, and this is Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU. We all want to find those special little treasures for our children and grandchildren. And most of us assume that if we find that product for sale in the store, it must have been tested and is assuredly safe for the kids to play with. Well, don't be so sure. And it's not limited to toys, either. Our guest this week is Jillian Miller, and Jillian is a staff scientist with the Ann Arbor-based Ecology Center. Its HealthyStuff.org project actually does test a great number of these toys and trinkets. Now, Jillian, your career has been dedicated to science, and as such, you let the provable facts tell your story. As you started poring over the results from all of this toy testing, were you surprised with the facts we're telling you?
Well, there are a couple answers to that question. Yes, there are surprises when if you test a lot of toys, you will come up with a few usually that have some surprising concentration of lead, for example, or sometimes phthalates, which are a plasticizer in vinyl plastic that's regulated by the CPSC. But I've also been pleasantly surprised by some good news that I kind of want to start with, which
Absolutely.
Is that toys have improved greatly in terms of their chemical additive hazards compared to a number of years ago.
So the word is getting around, and manufacturers are taking note.
Yes, and also maybe the biggest reason is that in 2009, there was federal legislation passed restricting lead and in toys, and then later cadmium in certain children's products as well. And that had a big impact, and that was partly due to the work of NGOs such as HealthyStuff.org testing lots and lots of toys. So we test a wide variety of products now beyond toys because the fact
Sure, decorations have, and all of the right. things that are sold in some of the discount stores, I'm sure.
Right. So one important message to give here is that toys, there's been some success. There are federal regulations. It's not 100% perfect, but it's much better than it was maybe seven or 8 years ago. However, anything that's not a toy and says that it's intended for children is not regulated in terms of lead, cadmium, phthalates, flame retardants, BPA. There are no regulations.
So what kind of products would that include?
If we're thinking holiday time, then any kind of decorations, including ornaments on a tree, which is a little unfortunate if you're a parent worried about this, because I know that when I was a kid and my kids now, they like to play with the ornaments on the tree as if they were toys.
Absolutely.
So that is one thing to keep in mind. Anything that's not specifically intended for children isn't regulated. And when we do testing, we certainly find chemical hazards in much greater frequency in any of those items, like decorative items that are not toys.
Well, this is Issues of the Environment, and our conversation on unsafe toys and decorations continues on 89.1 WEMU. Our guest today is Ecology Center staff scientist Jillian Miller. Now, what are the potential health impacts of prolonged exposure? I mean, when it comes to at least this time of year, the tree's up for a month, and then it's down, the ornaments are put away, and as you said, the toys are improving. So what is our risk exposure through the year?
Right, and that is a really hard question to answer, and I like to put it in context of the exposures we get from so many sources of a lot of these chemicals. For example, there are usually phthalates, which is a really common plasticizer, in dust. And that's from your products and gets into the dust. It's in the air. We have exposures from many sources all the time. And any one particular source, like a certain string of holiday lights, let's say, that has lead in it, that may expose you to a little bit of lead, and that's just one source out of many. So it's impossible to say exactly, you know, what the impact of any particular item is, but we have exposures through our food as well to many of these common industrial chemicals. And so the products that we buy can add to our burden of exposure, and that's how I like to think of it, without being able to quantify, which, you know, researchers do try to quantify exposures with models, which isn't something we do here. But the consumer products are a piece of the puzzle that is absolutely unnecessary. We could eliminate that source of exposure to lead, phthalates, flame retardants, BPA.
And before we get to exactly how we should be doing that, let me take you down this road for a second. are the products that we're talking about that are potentially hazardous to our health and to our children's health, are they exclusive to discount stores and so-called dollar stores, or are we going to find these risks in the stores that are owned by our local merchants and the big box stores as well?
They can be found anywhere, and I think that's due to the lax regulatory environment. Discount stores, you're going to find exclusively inexpensive items, which means you're going to have maybe a little more likelihood of finding these more contaminated items that I'm talking about. And I'll give you one example that you can find at all kinds of stores, which was really surprising to us. Beaded garlands, like the type you might decorate a tree with or maybe do some other kind of holiday decoration with, they look sort of like Mardi Gras beads or carnival beads. And we've tested a lot of these beads after discovering that they have really stunning levels of lead and flame retardants and some other heavy metals as well.
And it's a product that, in particular, children, it usually ends up in their mouth at some point.
Right. That's one that I mention to people when they want specific advice. That's one, you know, if you have those beads and you want to use them, okay, probably if nobody touches them, there's not much exposure, but keep them away from your kids and definitely young kids that would suck on them, because absolutely, little kids will do that.
In your mind, and this may run into the realm of opinion, so if you're not comfortable, certainly let me know, but in your mind, is there a component of socioeconomic discrimination here, environmental injustice, in that a lot of the discount stores are providing these products, and these are stores that low-income folks are almost forced to purchase from?
I think that's a really valid question, and there's not intentional discrimination in that way. It's kind of a matter of economics. The part of the reason we have this problem with contamination is because of the desire for cheap materials to make cheap products that are inexpensive. So it ends up being an issue if lower income communities, like you said, kind of don't have any other options for places to shop. So if they wanted to buy maybe less stuff but higher quality stuff, they'd have a harder time doing that based on the stores that are available, because that's one of the big messages that we suggest to people in general is quality, not quantity. Try to get away from buying little trinkets that you don't expect to last very long. There are a host of environmental issues beyond adding to our exposures of chemicals as well.
Issues of the environment and our conversation on unsafe toys continues on 89.1 WEMU. And our guest today is Ecology Center staff scientist Jillian Meller. So we have talked or touched upon the fact that there is need for legislative remedy. What, in your opinion, is that going to entail?
The federal chemicals law from the 1970s is absolutely outdated and has been inadequate for ages. We need reform on that. There's some hope for some reforms going on now, but basically there's probably not going to be a lot of movement on the federal level. We often support state groups in working to pass state laws, for example, banning specific phthalates that the federal government hasn't, or flame retardants. But lately, our organization has focused a lot on changing the marketplace and pushing companies to improve their company policies in the absence of better government legislation, which is needed. We've had success in encouraging companies to improve and implement their chemicals policies.
But it may be some time before we get to where we should be, which is to be at least as close to chemical-free as possible.
Right.
Well, I thank you very much. I wish you a very happy holidays and, most importantly, a healthy holidays. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you very much.
That is Ecology Center staff scientist Jillian Meller. For more information about which toys and gifts and decorations to avoid, go to healthystuff.org. I'm David Fair, and this is Issues of the Environment, a weekly feature produced in partnership with the Washtenaw County Environmental Health Division, and it's heard each Wednesday as part of Morning Edition on 89.1 WEMU.